today, and I believe it's a right now word. I want to talk about benefits of waiting on the Lord. All right? So I want to talk about the benefits on waiting on the Lord in your life. See, we have been so programmed by the world, by the flesh, to just act impulsively. Have you noticed that? Just acting off the cuff impulsively. Anybody ever do that here? No. No one at Living Waters, right? Everyone's perfect here? Okay, great. But, you know, to act without even thinking about it, just off the cuff, wherever our fleshly emotions take us, all right? But our true strength and power is found in this. Are you ready? Waiting on the Lord to reveal our next step. Waiting on the Lord to truly give us discernment to cut through the outward appearance of something. To cut through the fleshly emotions. Are you awake this morning? I know it's a time change, but come on now. See, the Lord gave me a message today that will teach and remind all of us that breakthrough in our life comes when we wait on the Lord and not take matters into our own hands. We're taking too many things in our own hands, too many things with earthly human wisdom. But we know the power of God does not operate through human wisdom. It operates through the wisdom of God. Amen? So there are amazing benefits of waiting on the Lord and seeking Him in your life. Now, a word of caution. I got to throw this out because there's always that person who wants to take it and twist it. Ready? Here we go. Don't use waiting on the Lord as an excuse to avoid knowing what you're supposed to do. Amen. How many of you know? Don't spiritualize an excuse in your life. We're so good at spiritualizing human wisdom. Right? We're so good at spiritualizing laziness. Amen. And disobedience to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know in your heart when that's happening. And other people know that too. They see it. Amen. They see it. When there's an obvious answer and solution in the Word of God to your problem, don't spiritualize it. Say, I'm just waiting on God. No. You know what to do. You just don't want to do it. Amen? So in this message, I'm talking about situations in your life where you honestly don't know what direction to go in your life. Are you following me? Anybody in here at that place right now? Amen. Amen. But before I talk about the benefits of waiting on the Lord, I want to give you a few points to consider on how to wait on the Lord, okay? So waiting on the Lord does not mean to be spiritually lazy and do nothing. It means to do the right things, not the wrong things that compels us to act before receiving guidance. It means to be a doer of the word while you're waiting. Are you following me? All right. So we are to wait on the Lord prayerfully, okay? Number one, you got to be waiting on Him prayerfully. If you need wisdom, the book of James says ask and God will give it liberally. It says literally that God is a liberal giver of wisdom. Why? Because God doesn't want His children to be in the dark. He wants us to know what His will is and what we are to do. Look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, 4 through 5. I got a lot of word I'm going to share with you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. Amen? Now here we go. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. It says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Now, the psalmist didn't ignore God when facing a problem. What did he do? He sought God. He was busy. So waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. You're doing something. You're just doing the right things. Amen? This is an excellent biblical example of a powerful prayer to pray while you're waiting on the Lord for guidance. Amen? We are to wait on the Lord patiently. All right? Jesus said something very interesting in Luke 21:19. And it's so small you might pass right over it and miss it. Are you ready? Jesus said, "In patience possess your souls." In patience possess your souls. Patience, listen to the definition of patience. I love it. Patience is defined as this: to have the capacity to accept or tolerate delay. Oh, this is a fun one to preach today. Listen, patience is defined as having the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Without getting angry or upset. Why? We don't have to get angry or upset because we know if we're going to put God first and His Word first, the breakthrough is surely going to come. That's why you can have patience in the midst of a trial. Amen? We must maintain our focus on God and His Word, which will help us maintain. Here it is. Let the rubber hit the road. That will help us maintain our composure in a trial. Anybody going through a trial today? You got to maintain that composure. If you don't, the enemy's got you. Amen? So listen to this. In other words, anything outside of godly patience, your soul, mind, will, and emotions will have the tendency to run wild in the flesh and get you into more trouble and cause more negative issues in your life. Oh, this is good preaching right here, people. Pastor's trying to help you today. Amen? We need to avoid fleshly impulse. Fleshly impulse, you know what impulse is, right? It's like a reflex. When the doctor hits your knee, boom, it moves immediately. Someone offends you, boom, you're automatically going after them in the flesh. Amen? See, this is an open door for the kingdom of darkness, for demons, to create more havoc in your life. We don't need any more havoc from the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Especially havoc that we are causing ourselves. We have enough when we're trying to do the right thing. We don't need more added when we do the wrong thing. Amen? So we must have self-control. We talked a lot about self-control on a Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. All right? We must have self-control. And part of that self-control is patience. It will protect you in the spiritual battle that you're facing. Look at Psalm 37:8. Psalm 37:8. Psalm 37, 7 through 8, actually. It says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Keep your composure. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." Here it is, verse 8. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Harm. The only thing the flesh will do for you is cause harm in your life. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Why? Because whatever the issue is, like I said, listen to me. You got to remember this. You have to remember this because so many Christians forget this fact. So many Christians forget that God is God. What you're going through right now did not catch God by surprise. Now, it may have caught you by surprise, but it didn't catch him by surprise. And he's the only one that has the answer to pull you out of that pit. Are you following me? God is very well aware of it. Your only job while you're waiting on him is to seek him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, meaning his way of doing things, in the waiting period. That's your job. Go to Psalm 145. I'm running you through the word. You're on a treadmill of the word today. Hallelujah. I think I have 17 passages, scriptures I'm sharing. So Psalm 45, 14 through 20. Huh? Psalm 145, 14 through 20. Now, listen to this. It says, "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. I don't know if you know this or not, but you kind of fit in that category. You're every living thing. Amen? Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and gracious in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him, very important, in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves, say preserves, all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Now, so we should have an expectation for God to answer us as we wait on him. This isn't some bingo thing. This isn't some universe lottery that we're playing here. No. If you're a child of God and you're seeking him, he will answer. And you need to expect an answer. Amen? God's not rude like that. Amen. I think a lot of times we kind of attribute God with how people treat us poorly, right? You ever said hi to someone and they ignore you? God's not going to do that. In fact, God says everybody that calls upon him, that talks to him, that pours their heart out to him in truth, it says he's close to you. He's close to you. So that tells me then God's waiting for your invitation. Your invitation is what he's waiting on, and he says, I'll be right there. But if you want to do it pridefully on your own, I'm going to stand back here. Are you following me? But those that call upon him in truth, I'm going to come and I'm going to help you out. So here's what you got to understand. Don't cast away your hope and faith in him in the midst of a trial. Now, he is near to all those who call upon him. Don't ever forget that. He will fulfill the desires of those that fear. That doesn't mean a tormenting fear. You know, I know what that means? Those who reverence him. Those who call upon him first. Those who are willing to put their trust in him and not in the arm of flesh. Amen? The word of God says in Jeremiah 17 that all that trust in the flesh, there's a curse that comes upon you. Did you know that? Now you do. Amen? So, listen. So, it says that he will preserve all those who love him, all those who obey the word of God. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? So, the fruit of your love toward Jesus is obeying the word of God. Amen? I like to say it this way. Obedience is Jesus' love language. Everybody in here has a love language. Words of affirmation, acts of service, right? They're all different. Well, I found out that Jesus's love language is obedience to him. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. And it says, my soul, wait patiently for God alone. Oh, that soul, that unrenewed mind, that wants you to make impulsive decisions, doesn't it? But the psalmist said, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is in him. He only, this, you got to come to the point of this. You got to hit rock bottom. You ever hear that phrase, a person has to hit rock bottom? That means that rock you hit is the only thing you trust is God. He should be your only rock in this life. Amen. Not your bank account, not your job, not anything else, not your spouse, not your boyfriend or girlfriend. Hello, somebody. Your only rock is God alone. That's why you need to hit rock bottom, the rock. Are you following me? He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God, my salvation and my glory, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows. Listen, you got to get to this point, people. Listen, my soul follows close behind you. Your thought life is always, he's always on your mind. You know what's interesting is we are always on God's mind. He's waiting for him to be on your mind. When your mind matches the mind of God, there's a connection. Are you following me? My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. So you must get to the point in your life and realize that your help doesn't come from anybody else but God alone. All right? It may, now here, God may use people. Has God ever used anyone to help you out? Absolutely. But he activated them for you on your behalf. Are you following me? With his favor. Say favor. You must be single-mindedly focused on God and his word at all times, but especially in times of trouble and need, in trials. Amen? That's the test. I mean, when everything's going great, it's easy to, you know, to be excited and happy. Amen? It's good, right? But no. The rubber hits the road in the trials. That's when you truly find out what is in the heart of a person. When that trial hits, are you going to turn and curse God, or are you going to stay faithful to him in the trial? Amen? So trust your Heavenly Father at all times and pour your heart out to him. Go to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Yes, I said Lamentations 3. This is a powerful passage right here. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 26. See, there's golden nuggets all over in the word. Amen? Now, it says, this I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. You've got to recall some things to your mind, and hope will be sparked. Amen? Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because, why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Does your soul say that? Did your soul say that when you woke up this morning? The Lord, you are my portion. Whether I have anything else or not, Lord, you are my portion. Amen? Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, so waiting on the Lord, when waiting on the Lord, you need to make an on-purpose effort. Like I said a minute ago, you need to remind yourself of the goodness and compassion and mercy of the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What was David saying to himself? He was encouraging himself in the goodness, compassion, and mercy of the Lord. Amen? Now, you know, we always hear, don't ever look back. Don't look back. Don't look back in your life. Well, here's a time you need to look back. Look back at the times that God got you out of trouble. You look back and you feed on his faithfulness. Look back on the time to gain strength in the trial you're facing now. Amen? So the Lord is good to all those, it's interesting, who wait on him. Say wait. Say I got to wait on him. To the soul that seeks him. So your focus, I'm telling you, it comes down to focus. Your focus needs to be on the Lord. Amen? Your thought life must be consumed and filled with thoughts of how good God is, how faithful he is. Amen? Now, listen to this. Hope and wait quietly on the Lord. Now, this is talking about the importance of making your thought life your priority. Here, here's a revelation for some. You don't always have to be talking. In fact, the reason you're in the mess is because you're talking too much. Amen. You're saying too much. You're saying the wrong things. If you're going to talk, at least speak the word. Speak faith. Amen. Take the time just to meditate on the promises in the word of God. Keep your mouth shut sometimes and just focus on the Lord. Amen. Don't allow words of doubt and unbelief to creep out. All you're doing is you're giving place to the enemy. You're giving place to the kingdom of darkness. Now, one of my instructors at Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa area, Doug Jones, he has a book called mastering the silence. Mastering this, and it's all about the importance of the thought life. I highly recommend it. He was one of the best teachers I ever had at Rhema. They're all phenomenal, but he, man, everybody look forward to going to his class. Mastering the silence, okay? But, okay, so I laid that foundation. Now let's talk about the benefits of waiting on the Lord, all right? Here we go. Are you ready? Okay, thank you, you two. Now, go to Psalm 25, Psalm 25, 3. The first benefit I want to talk about waiting on the Lord, is that there is freedom from shame when you wait on the Lord. There is freedom from shame when waiting on the Lord. Look at this. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. When we wait on the Lord and not run ahead of him, we are saving ourselves from the terrible consequences of acting in the flesh and with fleshly emotions. Has anybody figured out that there's some negative consequences that come with that? Amen. In many cases, when we run ahead of the Holy Spirit, we are giving place to demons to influence our actions, to influence our thought life, okay? Now, listen to this. So, what happened was, is when you got in the flesh, you left the spiritual safety zone of the Lord, all right? You left the spiritual safety zone of the kingdom of God. And that will always bring a shame and regret into your life, one way or the other. Amen? But know this, that waiting patiently on the Lord is never the wrong thing to do. I said waiting on the Lord is never the wrong thing to do. Amen? It's the spiritual safety zone for your life. Now, if you are unsure about something, don't do it. If you have a lack of peace on the inside about something, don't do it. Seek the Lord, wait on the Holy Spirit to reveal the next move. Amen? Now, in part of that, also seek godly counsel as well. Amen? It's not wrong to seek godly counsel. Amen? But look, here we go. The next, when waiting on the Lord, you are showing integrity and uprightness. Now, integrity and uprightness are not very popular words in our society today, but they are to God. They are to the kingdom of God. Look at Psalm 25, 20 through 21 here. It says, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you, or wait for you. So here, what does integrity mean? We throw out all these words, right? What in the world do they mean, right? Well, let's make it real simple for you. Integrity is defined as this, as being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. The opposite of Biden. Hello, somebody. Y'all enjoy the state of confusion address there this week? All right, now, listen to this. So, integrity is defined as being honest, having strong moral principles, or moral uprightness. Waiting on the Lord will cause integrity and uprightness to preserve you. Now, what does the word preserve mean? Let's take that deeper. Are you ready for this? Preserve means this. To maintain something in its original state. Integrity and uprightness will preserve you or help you to maintain your original state when you got born again. Walking in integrity, honesty, and moral uprightness will preserve your soul, your mind, will, and emotions from being negatively affected. It will prevent you from giving place to the enemy in your life. Are you following me? It will preserve you. You could say it this way. You ready? It will preserve you from getting defiled from the kingdom of darkness. Do you know a Christian can get defiled by demons? Hello? Christians can get defiled in the soul, in your mind, will, and emotions from demons, from the kingdom of darkness. We got to do whatever we can do to preserve ourselves. And when you walk in integrity and uprightness, you're going to preserve your soul. Amen? See, God loves when we learn from Him. He loves when we put trust in Him in every area of our life. In fact, the Word of God says this. It says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And guess what? Waiting on the Lord fits in the diligently seeking Him category. So when you wait on the Lord and you seek Him, guess what that means? You're going to get a little reward somewhere in your life. Everybody like rewards? Huh, Johnny, you like your little reward, huh? Want your milk and your graham cracker cookie? Everybody like a little reward, don't they? Why would you pass up a reward? Why would you pass up a reward from your Creator? Think about that. We'd rather have Bill Gates cut us a check instead of God rewarding us. Our mindset is so messed up. We're in the flesh way too much. Amen? Look at Romans 8:28. Don't pass it up. The reward. Romans 8:28. Very popular verse, but I want to read it here. And it says this: "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose." So that means, number one, you have to love God, number one. And number two, you have to be flowing in your God-given purpose for all things to work together for good. If you're in both of those things, need to be active, or you don't qualify for all things working for the good. Are you following me? Love God and called according to His purpose. Think about that. Now, to remain in His purpose means this then. It means not to run ahead of Him. Listen to this. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I remember when I first got out of Rhema. Man, I was ready to light the world on fire, baby. Where's TBN? Where's Daystar at? Where are they at? I got to get on TV right now. God's saying, hold on. Hold on. Just wait. I mean, it's good to have an excitement. It's good to have an excitement to do for the things of God. But let's face it, so many things in ministry are just flesh. And then people wonder why they're not seeing any results. Because it's flesh ministering and not the Holy Spirit through you. It's James's, wanting to promote his ministry. Instead of God, what do you have? What do you want me to do? Amen. Amen? So that was a real humbling experience when God rebuked me. Right? So to remain in His purpose means not to run ahead of Him. Stay in your lane and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Amen? And I promise you, He will open doors for you guys. He will open doors, and they will be glorious doors. They won't be doors that are filled with lack and disappointment. They're going to be doors of fulfillment. You're going to have joy in your life. Amen? Now, so waiting on the Lord will cause you. What's another benefit of waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord will cause you to have a renewed strength and courage on the inside of you. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Anybody need a renewed strength and courage? Anybody feeling weak, wore out? You feel beat up in life? Well, here we go. This is for you. Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, do you want to know why you will have renewed strength and courage when you wait on the Lord? You want to know? You want to know why that comes? Here's the answer right here. The Holy Ghost said, because you're crucifying your flesh and getting self out of the way. If you're beat down, if you're lacking strength, if you're lacking a courage, there's too much of you in the way. There's just too much of you. There's too much of the flesh in the way. All right? You're not making way. All right? So waiting on the Lord gets self out of the way. And that's why it strengthens you and builds you up. Listen to me. I got to say this again. The Holy Ghost wants me to say it again. Waiting on the Lord is never wasted time. Amen. We get in this mindset. We got a work mentality. Work mentality. No, no, no. No. More can be accomplished by you waiting on the Lord and seeking Him than you working and operating in the flesh outside of these four walls or anywhere. Amen. Are you following me? Let God open the doors. Amen? Now, go to Psalm 27, Psalm 27, 14. You getting anything out of this? I think it's a good reminder for all of us. Amen? Myself included. You got to understand, a pastor preaches to himself as well. This message, yeah, I wrote it, but it came from the Holy Ghost, and it's still directed at me too. Amen? Now, Psalm 27, 14. So waiting on the Lord gets self out of the way and allows you to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so powerful. Psalm 27, 14 says this. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Twice in one verse, he says, wait on me. Slow down. Stop, James. You're not going to be on Daystar and TBN yet. Amen? Slow down. All right? So wait. He says, wait, wait. So the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will strengthen your heart as you wait on Him because you're focused on Him. You're finally putting the right things in perspective in your life. You're putting the priority of God on top, finally. Amen? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, finally, your motive and intent is pure and righteous. Write those down. Motive and intent. Motive and intent. Those are so important. Anytime you go to do something for the Lord and you don't know if it's Him, always run it through the filter. What's my motive? What's my intent? If what you're trying to do doesn't pass that filter, wait on the Lord and seek Him for further direction. Amen? How many times have we said, go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, 22 through 24. I really feel like I'm hitting a bullseye in the spirit here with this message today. I think it's right on time here. Psalm 31, 22 through 24. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. That's a payment I don't want to receive. Amen? Verse 24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. How many times have we said in our haste that God is not hearing us? God is not answering me. Boo-hoo us, right? Hey, now, listen to this. Haste is the opposite of waiting patiently on the Lord and in faith, all right? Haste means to hurry or to rush something through, all right? God doesn't operate like that. God does not operate. So stop with the negativity and reel in. Come on, somebody. Stop with the negativity and reel in your thought life back in and focus on the Lord who he really is and who you are in Christ, number one. Amen? And get that fleshly self out of the way and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Look at Psalm 33, 13 through 22. Psalm 33, 13 through 22. The Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. From that place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He's looking right now at all of us right now. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers some of their works. What? Oh, he considers all of their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Listen, get the message. Get the spirit of what the Holy Ghost is saying. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear or reverence him, on those who hope in his mercy, who have an expectation of him answering, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, which includes your mind, will, and emotions. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Now, I want to tell you something. You got to listen to this. This is so important about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord could be the difference between life and death. Waiting on the Lord could be the difference between life and death in many cases. Everything in the natural realm is a vain thing for your protection in life. Did you get the spirit of what the Holy Ghost is saying here? Okay? Our safety and protection hinges on our hope and faith in the Lord. He has all the answers. He has all the wisdom for what direction we should take in every situation we face. You got a bad report on something for your health, right? Don't just jump in. Seek the Lord how he would want you to handle it. Amen. I'm not saying don't get medical. Of course, God uses the medical. What I'm saying is seek the Lord how he wants you to handle it. Oh, it's getting real quiet in here. I must have slayed some sacred cows down here or something. Amen. Get the mind of the Lord. You're hit with a bad report. Lord, how do you want us to handle this or me to handle this? Amen. You might be surprised. It might be different from what you thought you should do. Amen. But he has all the answers and wisdom for what direction we should take in every situation we face. You know, listen to this. You know if you truly possess hope and faith in your soul, if your soul is rejoicing in him no matter what the situation it is. Are you following me? Even in the waiting room of life. Let me say it again. You know if you truly possess hope and faith in him, if your soul is truly rejoicing. If there's no rejoicing in your soul, you have a faith and hope problem. There's some kind of a block. There's a blockage. There's some kind of a disconnection. Amen? Any electricians in here? If the current's not flowing, there's a block. There's some kind, something cut off. If a Christian's not operating in peace, hope, and joy, and faith, there's a disconnection somewhere in your life. Amen? And so righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. If that's not flowing, there's something wrong. There's something hindering that in your life. That's where you got to make an appointment for an emotional healing and deliverance session, and James the electrician will try to find that for you with the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. The spiritual electrician. So here's what you got to do. Do whatever it takes to shift your focus back on God, back on his word, to get back into that place of rejoicing. Back to that place of hoping in God. Back to that place of expectation. Now, when I'm talking about hope in God, I'm not talking about this worldly hope junk going on. Oh, I hope it happened. No, a spiritual hope in the Lord, a biblical hope, is a confident expectation. You know what that means? It's right on the teeter-totter of falling into faith. Are you following me? It's not this hope where, well, it might or might not happen. No, no. Biblical? Oh, come on. Biblical hope means, here's faith right here, right? Biblical hope is an expectation. You know God's going to do something, right? And that's why hope is in the ingredients to have faith. Faith is the evidence of things what? Hoped for. It's right on that edge. And it just takes a little bit for it to turn into faith. Are you following me? So don't fall into this trap of this worldly hope stuff. Biblical hope is powerful. Faith, hope, and love, these three, the Word of God says. Amen? It's a knowing. God, I'm expecting you to move. Why? 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 What are you basing it on? The word of the living God. That's what I'm basing it on. God's not a liar. Amen? I'm going to believe what his word says. I'm going to believe for him to move. Amen? So do whatever it takes to get back to that place of rejoicing. Make whatever changes you need to make. Whatever wires you got to pull out to put over here, put over here, to kind of get back into that place. Amen? Now, here we go. Waiting on the Lord will cause your prayers to be answered and will cause you to have a powerful testimony to those around you. Amen. Look at Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40, 1 and 3. Anybody want to have a good testimony? Yes. Hallelujah. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. Waiting on the Lord will cause your prayers to be answered and will cause you to have a powerful testimony to those around you. It says this, Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. You ever try walking in life and it feels like you're in quicksand? You always feel like you're in the mud? The Word of God's the only sure foundation. We need to wait on the Lord to get the steps. Verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Here it is. Underline it. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So many will see the benefits in your life when you wait on the Lord and you're trusting in him. Amen? And they will have a fear or a reverence. They'll say, you ever have someone say to you, I want what you have. How God moved in your life, I want him to move in my life too. Are you following me? So here we go. So the opposite is true. If you don't wait on the Lord, people will see. Are you ready for this? They will start to see the foolishness and consequences of not waiting on the Lord. Amen? How many times have we been there? Amen? One of the greatest honors in this life is being used as a testimony to motivate others to put their faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. One of the greatest honors is God using you as a testimony. Amen? Don't you want to be used as a testimony? You don't want to be used as an example in Pastor James's sermon saying, say, this is what it looks like not to wait on the Lord. Be careful, you might end up in my sermon. Just kidding, I would never do that. I would never do that, okay? In fact, here's the disclaimer. If I ever talk about a situation that vaguely resembles something you told me, I wasn't thinking about you when I wrote it. I would never embarrass anybody. Amen? Amen. Okay, I just got to make that clear. All right, Psalm 106, 7 through 15. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. And he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. Where am I going to? 15, thank you. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Oh, my. God is good God. Amen? Your enemies, he's taking care of it. Calm down. Relax. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. They did not wait for his counsel. They ran ahead of him. They did their own thing. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them, listen to this, you got to get this. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Oh my. Man, that's powerful. Sometimes God will give you what you want, but it's never going to satisfy you. Be careful what you're seeking and asking God for. Amen? Listen, the danger of getting caught up in self, caught up in the flesh. You see, God did all those miracles. Amen? He parted the Red Sea, all those miracles, signs, and wonders. Yet, the people still forgot his works and did not wait for God's counsel. They did not wait for the wisdom and guidance of God. Amen? And listen, God gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. What does that mean? It means nothing was good enough for them. There was never a contentment with God. Amen? That's why even running this church, Living Waters Chapel, when an idea comes to me, I just don't jump on the bandwagon immediately. I want to seek the Lord. I don't want to spin my wheels. Are you following me? I don't want it to be in the flesh. I want it to be profitable. Amen? Now listen to this. So content means this. Content means to be in a state of peaceful happiness or to be satisfied. All right? So we must seek the counsel of God in our life and learn to be content in him. Are you content in him? Can you ask yourself that question? Are you content in him? If you're not, chances are your life's a mess right now. Amen? Something's going on. We got to find contentment in him. Amen? Now listen to this. Waiting on God will cause his justice to be made manifest in your life and on this earth. Look at Isaiah 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, verse 18. I'm almost done. Stick with me here. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Say, I got to wait. All right? So, there is a blessing attached, many blessings, attached to waiting on the Lord. You got to understand this. Someone needs to hear this now. Don't take justice into your own hands. Shut your mouth and allow the Holy Spirit to move in the situation. Don't hinder the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. There's a meme on Facebook, and I love it. I saved it on my phone. And it says this. It says, shut up until your heart heals. How many times have we said something, we regret it? Why? Because it was out of the flesh. It was out of impulse. Amen? Shut up until your heart heals. Amen? The fact of the matter is this. We can say and do something extremely crazy in that place of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And listen to me. Some of those consequences of taking matters into our hands are irreversible. They're irreversible. Amen? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I guarantee you, every person in this place and watching around the world right now, someone has said something to you, a parent, someone, and it rattles in your soul every day. Words are powerful. And you better be careful. They can cause damage. Amen? So allow self to get out of the way and make room. Give room for the justice of God to manifest in that situation. That is why you got this. You got to catch this. This is why Jesus said, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If your enemy needs clothes, clothe them. Are you following me? Jesus is saying it doesn't matter what they did to you. Get yourself out of the way. Get your stinking pride out of the way and let my spirit move. Amen? Amen? This is bigger than your hurt and your crushed pride. Why? Because salvation of other people hang in the balance. Other lives are at stake. It doesn't matter how hurt you are. Amen? Oh, trust me, I've been there. I know. I'm preaching myself too here. It really doesn't matter what you get yourself out of the way and just obey what Jesus said. And then you'll see powerful results. And then peace will come back into your life. Amen? When you do that, when you're obeying the Lord, we are showing one of the greatest fruits of faith because we are ignoring the flesh. We're ignoring the flesh, we're ignoring the devil, and we're allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Now, if we were honest with ourselves, a huge percentage of our problems are from us failing to wait on the Lord and give place to Him in our life, to lead, guide, and direct us. All of the failures, you're right, we tried to take things in our own hand. We wanted to administer justice against that person that hate us or spoke against us or whatever it was, right? Instead of just walking in love and giving place to the Spirit of God. Because guess what? The person you're holding anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness toward, they could care less right now. They're living their best life right now. They don't care you're angry at them. It's affecting you, right, not them. Yeah. And Jesus is more concerned about you and what's going on in your heart. Amen? Amen? So many times we're suffering from the consequences of allowing that self and flesh to override the Holy Spirit in our life. But we like to spiritualize that a little bit, right? Right? Okay, now go to Isaiah 26. Go to Isaiah 26 real quick here. Isaiah 26, verses 8 and 9. You know what? If you went to that person, you picked up the phone, called them, you went up to them in church or whatever, that person, whoever you have aught against, and you go up and you just go and give them a hug and say, hey, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. You know, I'm praying for you. Do you know how many walls that would break down in your own heart? Do you know how much healing would take place? Why? Because you're becoming a doer of the word, and there's always benefits to being a doer of the word. Amen? Amen? Don't fall into the trap of the enemy anymore. Look at this. Isaiah 26, 8 and 9. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Interesting here. We are to wait on the Lord for his judgments to come. Like I said, don't take matters into your own hands, right? The main reason for us to do that is so that Jesus will be glorified and he will be remembered as the one that intervened and moved on your behalf. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. When the judgments of God are in the earth, when we are led by the Word of God, when we're led by the Holy Ghost, verse 9 said, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? The Holy Ghost said this. You are being watched by people all the time as a Christian. Hello, somebody. The people in the world are learning the righteousness of God by us. Yeah. Did you follow that in that verse? Yeah. By waiting on the Lord, by being led by the Lord, and us getting out of the way. That's how this world learns righteousness. This world is in a state of confusion right now. They think up is down and down is up. They think a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy. Hello, somebody. They think men can have periods. Confusion much? But when a Christian steps up to the plate and says, no, the Word of God says this, it interferes with that stinking thinking that they have. And finally, guess what? It teaches them righteousness. You are being watched. Listen to me. I don't want to be the reason that people turn away from Jesus because I call myself a Christian, but I'm being led by self in the flesh. Amen? You can say all day long, Christians are good at doing this. You ready for this? They're good at doing this. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm imperfect. You can say that all you want, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, if you call yourself a Christian, the world looks at you and they tie you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can give all the disclaimers you want. Well, I'm just an imperfect Christian. No, when they're watching you, you're teaching them something. Amen. You're teaching them something. What is it? Are you teaching them unrighteousness or are you teaching them righteousness? You're teaching the world something all the time. And it doesn't have to be by words. They're watching everything that we are doing. Amen? So waiting on the Lord, listen to this, waiting on the Lord will prevent you from misrepresenting the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. How many people have we personally pushed away from Jesus because we failed and we're teaching them the wrong thing? There's people out there, there's literally people out there right now who have been in our circle who said, well, how James acted that one time, he's a Christian. I don't even want to be a Christian. Are you following me? Think of the eternal responsibility that we all have in this matter. Oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm not a teacher. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're teaching the world something all the time. Whenever you walk outside of the four walls of your house, baby, you're teaching them something. Amen? Look at my last scripture here and I'm done. Isaiah 64. There is a responsibility on us for that reason. That's why in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul said, if you call yourself a Christian, yes, you are to be judged by those within the church. You know what that's called? Accountability. Amen. People don't like it. People don't like it. But it's accountability. Paul went this far. He said, you know, the church isn't supposed to judge the world. They're doing what they know how to do. They're sinners. Right. They can't do anything else until they get born again. Right. But those who call themselves Christians and you see them not acting accordingly, call them out. Touch base with them. Why? It's that important because we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you got that Christian name tag on, be careful, be very, very careful, because there's a high responsibility for that tag. Amen. Bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down. The mountain shook at your presence, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one. Here it is, underline it, who waits on him. God acts. This scripture literally says that God acts for those who slow down and wait on him. Now, if that doesn't motivate you to slow down, get your foot off of that accelerator in life, and get the mind of God, I can't help you today. Are you following me? This is not something that mommy and daddy can do for you. This is not something that pastor can do for you. You have control over your own life. Remember, this isn't just a passive waiting. It is a waiting that's filled with seeking Him, focusing on Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, and longing for more of Him. That is when He will rend the heavens and manifest His power. Amen? We must give way to Him and for His ways to be accomplished through us, as I said many times today. That is the only way we are ever going to walk in power and the authority through the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Listen, our prayers are not to be filled with desires consumed by our fleshly lust with wrong motives, but rather that the will of God would be accomplished through us on this earth. Amen? So church, we need to really take hold of the message that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across today. Number one, we get rid of self, stop being led by the flesh, shut your mouth until you have a spiritual mindset and your heart heals. Pray, seek the Lord, and get the mind of Christ on a situation before we act. And when we do that, we will see amazing breakthroughs in our life personally. We will represent the kingdom of God accurately, and we will lead others into a meaningful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Now, I just sense by the Spirit of God in here, there's many said, my goodness, Pastor James was speaking directly to me. If you felt like this message was speaking directly to you and you're ready to recommit, you're ready to take that foot off the fleshly accelerator and you're ready to slow down, I want you to just come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. Rededicate, refocus, amen. Now, maybe there's someone in here you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. This is no game, because if you took your last breath, if you drop dead in this service right now, it's done, game over, that's it. Nobody can pray you out of hell. There is no waiting room. There is no purgatory. If you take your last breath now, it's done, it's over, game over. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, and only you can do that. Nobody can do it for you. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. You make the decision on your own. Come down and pray with one of our prayer team members today. Now, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, and you want to learn more about praying in tongues and the benefits of that, come on down. We want to minister to you today. If you need prayer for anything else, come down. We'll wait here as long as possible. But as long as you are here, we're going to be here. Amen. Visitors, thank you so much for coming today. I hope you were ministered to in a powerful way. By the way, our new digital sign by the road is scheduled to be installed Wednesday at 10 a.m. There it is. So it's going to look sharp. And we're going to use it. We're going to put scripture on it. I mean, just awesome things. It's going to be an awesome testimony. So you guys have a wonderful week. If you need me, you know how to get in touch with me. Grab one of my cards, message me. Let's get together. Amen? Amen. All right. Love you all. I'm going to be in the back here shaking your hands. So have a great week.